our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness how I yearn for you with all the affection of Christ Jesus. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Amen. To this reading of God's holy and divinely inspired word. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Let's pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for your love for us in Christ. Thank you for choosing us in Christ. Thank you for calling us to saving faith in Christ. Thank you for cleansing us from our sin by the shed blood of Christ, calling us your sons and daughters, giving to us your Holy Spirit. And so we praise you, our triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Thank you that you are a God who is at work in our hearts, in our lives, and in your church, Father. We give you praise always in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, it's been my pastoral practice for the past 32 years to start the new year by preaching on one verse of Scripture. You have a list of the 11 past years of the year verses at Hope Presbyterian Church. One correction there, the first year was 2012. Now, why do I select a year verse? I grew up in a church where the pastor, Mike Alford, did that every year, and it was a verse well worth memorizing and meditating upon. I still remember many of those verses. Well, you might ask as well, how do I select a year verse? I pray a lot. I read through a treasure load of scriptures. If you compare notes, it often comes from the scriptural book that we are studying on the Lord's Day. You know, I pray that it's a verse that speaks to the hearts of all of our congregation. It's a verse to be memorized and meditated upon. Then finally, it's a verse, it's my prayer that the Holy Spirit would use the year verse to bring gospel transformation, you know, in each of our hearts, in our homes, and in our church family, and yes, even in the sinful and world surrounding us. So our 2023 Hope Presbyterian Church year verse is Philippians 1, verse 6. It's there in your bulletin. It's there in your Bibles, more importantly. Let's say it together. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Now, as you look at this verse and the context here in Philippians, you'll see that the certainty of God's gracious work of salvation grows our gospel assurance. You know, what gives us a gospel assurance of a gracious finish? You know, just looking at verse 6 this morning begins with a gospel certainty, and then there's a gospel continuation, and it concludes with a gospel climax, a gospel consummation. You know, I invite you to keep your Bibles open there to Philippians, but keep your finger in Philippians, and you know, for a New York minute, going to refer back to Acts chapter 16, verse 10. You know, this morning we're returning to our study of Philippians. Took a break before Advent and Psalm 130, last Lord's Day. When did the church at Philippians start? Apostle Paul received that Macedonian call. They went over to Philippi, and we learn about the gracious conversion of Lydia. She was the first true believer there in Philippi. She was a businesswoman from Thyatira who joined the other women at the river to pray. And Acts 16, verse 10 tells us the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul. Then the Apostle Paul and Silas had a confrontation with a woman who prophesied, presumably demon-possessed, and because they opposed this woman, confronted her with the gospel, they were thrown into prison. But even there in prison, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns that were a witness to the other prisoners. And then the prison guard and his family came to saving faith in Christ. Acts 16, verse 30. Then he, the prison guard, brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." And they spoke the word of God, of the Lord, to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds, and he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Then he brought them up into his house and set food before them, and he rejoiced along with his entire household that he had believed in God. So we see God's gracious work of bringing these sinners to saving faith in Christ, and this church at Philippi is being planted. You know, but Paul, you know, here in Philippians is always reminding them of the gospel. And there's a gospel certainty here in that first phrase. It in our ESV versions, "And I am sure of this. I am confident of this very thing," is the way the New American Standard translates it. You know, where is Paul's confidence? You know, what's the basis for his gospel confidence? Well, you know, again, look at it in context. It begins, verse 2, "The grace and peace, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ." You know, that confidence of prayer, of fellowship in the gospel. You know, he remains confident in God's grace, even during grave times. You know, we saw that last week, you know, the stormy waves and the winds there in Psalm 130. We saw it as well in today's Psalm, Psalm 138, verse 7. "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you preserve my life. You stretch out your hand against the wrath of my enemies, and your right hand delivers me." That word for deliver there is the same word for save. "And your right hand saves me, O God." You know, there is always a confidence in the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he stays confident in the Lord despite his confinement in the Roman prison. You know, confidence does not come through our present circumstances. Our confidence is in the Lord, in His gospel. You consider all the struggles, or a few of the struggles of God's saints as you read through Scripture. And yes, Bible reading plans are still available there in the back. It's not too late. You can start reading the Bible any day of the year. But as you read through Scripture, you see these crises in the lives of God's saints. Joseph in an Egyptian prison, unjustly accused. As well, consider the righteous Daniel in the lion's den. Why is he in the lion's den? There for praying publicly. The prophet Jeremiah at the bottom of a muddy cistern. Mary and Martha grieving the death of Lazarus, their brother, their beloved brother. Consider as well the apostle John. As you go through the book of Revelation, where is he writing? He's been exiled there to the island of Patmos. The gospel gives us certainty and confidence in Christ even in uncertain times. A confidence in the Lord. You'll see that word confidence when you read through Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verse 14. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Dr. Ironsides put it this way, way back when. In general, then, confidence is based on a knowledge of God and His loving power to achieve His plans. A gospel confidence, a gospel certainty. Here we are, still at the beginning of 2023. Consider the full dumpster of dread uncertainties in 2023. More viruses are predicted. Increasing inflation, food shortages. Cultural conflicts, just to name a few. How should we as Christians respond to these uncertainties? We're going to get angry, going to wring our hands, write another letter to the editor, or make a social media post, ranting and raging? No, we have a certainty in the gospel of Christ. Confidence in God. Just to refresh our memories, Philippians chapter 1, verse 27 was our year verse in 2018. Worth remembering, Philippians 1, 27, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. There's a life of gospel certainty. Because our feet are standing upon Christ, that solid rock. Gospel assurance because of, or gracious assurance because of gospel certainty. But look at the next section of Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. And I am sure of this, and here's the bigger section, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. That he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. There is a gospel continuation here. Our great and gracious God began the good and gracious work of salvation in his children, and he gives us his covenant promise that he will continue his good work in each of our lives until he brings it to completion, to the finish line. We may cross the finish line on our hands and knees, but he is going to bring us, to that day, as we'll find out here in a bit, that day of Christ Jesus Christ. But God, you know, as we think of gospel continuation, you know, first truth here, God commenced his good work in believers. William Hendrickson put it this way, the good work which God had begun within the hearts and lives of the Philippians was that of grace, whereby they had been transformed. We don't save ourselves. You know, it's God who reaches out. He graciously redeems us. You know, he commences that good work in believers. You know, and we'll get back to it, but it's vital to note that pronoun there, that he who began a good work in you, it's a plural pronoun. This is not to any one Christian there. It's to all of the church at Philippi, to every Christian who is trusting in Christ. You know, God's work of grace in every Christian, but also his gracious work in his church. You know, God began his good work when he created us in his image, then sovereignly and savingly chose us in Christ, Ephesians 1:4, from before the foundation of the world. You know, God then caused gospel seeds to be sown into our lives. He prepared our hearts to hear the good news of the gospel. He graciously drew us near. You know, we were far away. We were rebellious. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. And it was our great and gracious God who drew us to saving faith. He cleansed us from our sins, you know, by the blood of Christ that was shed for our sins there on the cross. You know, he cleanses his chosen ones. He calls us his adopted sons and daughters. He gives to us his Holy Spirit. God commenced his good work in the lives of every believer. And, you know, take a closer look here at Philippians 1, verse 6. That little phrase, good work, you know, that may be strange or striking to us. You know, the work, the good work of God. You know, think of God's glad statement at the end of each of the first 5 days of creation. And God saw that it was good. You know, but then at the end of the sixth day, you know, after God had created Adam and then Eve, you know, what did God say? And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. You know, but Christ's good work of dying for our sins on the cross, the righteous one for the unrighteous ones, you know, can rightly be called a very, very, very good work of our gracious God. You know, his good gospel work, his gracious gospel work of salvation. You know, if people may ask, well, are you saved by works? And if you want to be scripturally, I don't want to say clever, you can say, yes, I am saved by good works, or by good work, and that's the good work of Christ, you know, on the cross of Calvary. You know, God graciously continues his good work in believers. You know, we call it sanctification. Scripture calls it sanctification. You know, we are dying more and more unto sin. We are hating sin more and more each and every day of our lives. We are loving Christ more and more each day of our lives. You know, that good work which God has begun within us, you know, he will carry it on to completion. You know, one translation says he will perfect it. You know, he will bring us to the finish line of faith. You know, our faithful Heavenly Father commits himself to completing his good work in our salvation. You know, but consider this, as you go through Scripture. You know, our sovereign God graciously led Israel in the wilderness. You know, he didn't just part the Red Sea and put them in the wilderness and say, well, here's a map. Use your GPS. You can figure it out. You know, God safely brought them to the promised land. God graciously brought them into the promised land. You know, and even then, you know, they conquered all his and their enemies. You know, God began his good work in us. You know, we see that. We're going through Romans and Sunday school, and shortly we'll get to Romans 8. But here these verses, Romans 8, verse 29 and 30 again, called the golden chain of salvation. And here you see God's continued good work in our lives. Romans 8, verse 29, for those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that we might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those whom he predestined, he also called, and those whom he called, he also justified, and those whom he justified, he also glorified. You know, God will complete his good work in the life of each faithful Christian, but God will also complete his gracious work in the gospel ministry of his church. You know, he who began a good work in you all. You know, what a hopeful gospel promise that would be to the church at Philippi. You know, but as well, it's a promise to his church today. It's God's gospel promise to us here at Hope Presbyterian Church. You know, he who began a good work in this, his church, his people, corner of South Main and Cherry Street, you know, he will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. You know, as you're well aware of the fact, 2022 marked our 150th anniversary of this Presbyterian Church, corner of South Main and Cherry. It's gone by a few different names: Opelousas Presbyterian Church, First Presbyterian Church, Westminster Presbyterian Church, and then Hope Presbyterian Church. You know, and as you read through the roller coaster of our history, you know, we have some history, thanks to Joanne putting it all out there for us. You can find it in our sessional records, and far as I can determine, we have session records back to the start of the church. You know, it's a roller coaster history. You know, financial concerns, church conflict and splits, racial issues, many short pastorates here, serious theological concerns. You know, as well, the Lord has greatly used this church, you know, to raise up children and youth and Christian families and to send them out as God's gospel witnesses. The Lord has used this church, you know, to help with the start of what is now Westminster Christian Academy. You know, Hope for Opelousas started because of the godly vision of the church family here. You know, praise the Lord for his steadfast love for us and for his church. Thank the Lord for his great faithfulness. You know, take another look. I think we're going to put them away after this Sunday, but take another look at all the pictures, notebooks, memorabilia there in the fellowship hall. You know, praise God for his preserving love, you know, upon each one of us, upon this his church. You know, it's a call for us as Christians to persevere. You know, if you read through, or if you know a little Reformed theology, sometimes we talk about the 5 points of Reformed theology. You know, TULIP, you know, total depravity, you know, unconditional election, nothing we have done to save ourselves, limited atonement, I like the term definite redemption better. Irresistible grace is the fourth one. And then the P is perseverance of the saints. And often Philippians 1:6 is used as that scriptural reference. But along with thinking about perseverance of the saints, you know, the flip side of that biblical coin is this: God preserves his church. In fact, I would say we persevere because God preserves us. God protects us. God brings about his gospel progress within his church for our good and for his glory and praise. You know, it's a call for us as Christians to persevere, not grow weary in well-doing. For in due season ye shall reap if you faint not. It's a call to be glorifying God in our worship, in our study of the Word, in our Christian witness at home and abroad. You know, a gospel certainty, a gospel continuation, finally there in Philippians 1:6. You know, a gospel climax, a gospel continuation. Say Philippians 1, verse 6, again with me. Let's say it together. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. I've learned it in a number of different versions. Bring it to completion is the way it's written in our ESV. You know, until the day of Christ Jesus, until the day of Jesus Christ. You're going to see that phrase again in verse 10. We'll come across it at chapter 2, verse 16. You know, what's the day of Christ Jesus? You know, in the Old Testament, they often referred to the day of the Lord. You know, especially as you read through the prophets, Old Testament prophets, and especially Joel. I give you one example, Joel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Joel 2, verse 1, blow a trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like blackness there is spread upon the mountains. A great and powerful people, their like has never been before, nor will be again after them through the years of old generations. You know, when you study the Old Testament, that truth about the day of the Lord, it was a reminder, an encouragement actually to God's people, that the Lord will indeed bring his holy judgment to bear upon the nations. You know, those unrepentant sinners who are rebelling against God, attacking God's people, and it's very graphic, striking language. You know, and there's a hint of that here, of the day of Christ Jesus. You know, just to prepare us for studying it again in Philippians chapter 2, verse 10, and especially as we study Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, that and I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion. When? At the day of Christ Jesus, or the day of Jesus Christ. You know, that's the day, not of our death, you know, but that's the day. Well, three quick truths about it. The glorious revelation of Christ at his second coming. I believe there's only one second coming of Christ. And we read about this glorious revelation of Christ at his second coming. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Love to read these verses at the graveside for a Christian funeral. If I know that person has been trusting in Christ for their salvation, 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive to our left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. You know, this gospel truth about the second coming of Christ ought to encourage us. You know, that Christ is coming again in all of his glory, in all of his grace. You know, the dead in Christ will rise first. Their souls are already in heaven, but their physical bodies will rise from the grave, and there'll be a glorious reunion there, body and soul, and we who are alive will be caught up with the Lord. You know, on the day of Jesus Christ, that glorious revelation of Christ at his second coming. Secondly, the day of Jesus Christ speaks of the Lord's righteous retribution on unrepentant sinners. It's judgment day. You know, and for those who are trusting in Christ for their salvation, we who are clothed in the righteousness of Christ, we will be welcomed. We will be embraced. We will be rejoicing on that day. You know, but for those who are not trusting in Christ for their salvation, it's going to be a day of judgment. But even though it's a day of judgment, hear this. We'll get there fairly soon. Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. So that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. You know, both Christian and non-Christian, those who have been redeemed by the blood of Christ and those who have rebelled against Christ, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Even unbelievers will be declaring that. You know, the Lord's righteous retribution, and the word there is righteous. And finally, rejoicing and reassurance for the redeemed. Second Thessalonians 1:10 tells us he comes to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at among all who believed. You know, it's going to be a day of rejoicing for God's redeemed children, those who are resting on Christ for their salvation. Let me give you three takeaways here. You know, as we come to the end of this study of Philippians 1, verse 6. First one, memorize and meditate upon Philippians 1, verse 6. You know, the advantage of memorizing it is you can always be meditating upon it. You know, you're at work, you're driving in your car, of course, still pay attention to what's on the road in front of you, around you, but you can meditate as you go to sleep at night. First thing when you wake up in the morning, memorize and meditate upon this. Do it individually. I encourage families to memorize it. Do it as a family activity during your family worship time. Before kids head out in the morning, go to bed at night. Secondly, praise the Lord that our gracious God began that good work of salvation in us. You know, praise God that he began that good work. And he not only began it, he is going to complete it. You know, what God starts, he finishes. My dad used to say growing up, and I found it saying to my children, you know, any job worth starting is a job worth finishing. You got to say it with a stern voice when you're ready to quit. You know, when God starts that salvation, he's going to finish it. You know, we may grow weary, discouraged, you know, forlorn, frustrated by the world around us. You know, but the God, the gracious God who began that good work of salvation, he's going to bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And that's the third truth. Live in light of the coming day of Jesus Christ. Live in light of that coming day. It's not a day to be dreaded or feared. That ought to give us hope each and every day. This world is not my home. Heaven is my home. I'm going to be with the Lord. Lord's coming again. He's going to bring me home to glory. You know, that's the completion. You know, it's not just dying in Christ. That's a good thing. You know, but it's knowing that our home is with Christ and all the saints in glory. Because of his faithfulness. And may we be found faithful. May we be fruitful. Not just sitting, twiddling our thumbs until Christ comes again, but fruitful about our Father's business and filled with gracious assurance. Nothing in this world gives us assurance. But Christ gives us gracious assurance. Close with that refrain from the hymn that we sang. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you began that good work of salvation in us. Thank you that you not only began that good work, but that you're still at work in each of our hearts today. For those who are trusting in Christ, thank you that you're still at work in this, your church, Hope Presbyterian Church. Lord, thank you that you're going to bring it to completion at that day of Jesus Christ, when Christ comes again in all of his glory to take us home. And Lord, may we be found ready for that day. May we be faithful in our journey of faith with Christ. May we show the fruit of your Holy Spirit. May we always be ready to give an answer for that hope that is within us. Lord, thank you for your gift of gospel assurance in Christ Jesus, the completed work of Christ on the cross. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.